I work for an organization called Public Health Law and Policy. We're based in Oakland, California, and we work primarily with states and communities on using policy and law to create healthier places to live. And I work, as my bio said, I work on the childhood obesity prevention team, and I do some work on the Farm Bill, which is federal policy, but it's, as you'll see in today's presentation, it has a lot of connections to the work that you all are doing at the local level. And so the purpose of this presentation is to talk a little bit about aspects of the last Farm Bill that might be of interest to you and your community as a means just to put the Farm Bill kind of on your radar. So I work with a lot of lawyers, and so I have to give a few disclaimers here. The first just basically says that this is information only and that we don't form attorney-client relationships. The second thing is basically says that I'm just providing objective information about policy options, and I'm not expressing an opinion about any specific legislation. I'm not lobbying you about any of this. So now we can have some fun. It is Halloween, and I'm a little disappointed that none of you are wearing costumes. we'll work this theme into the presentation. So here we have two jack-o'-lanterns, and the one on the your left is kind of scary and frightening, and the one on the right is a little more happy. So I'm just curious, how many of you, when you think of the Farm Bill, it just sounds like this kind of frightening thing that you really would rather just stay away from? Okay, and how many of you think it's kind of a cool thing and you're not terribly afraid of it and you might want to learn a little bit more? Okay, well, hopefully those of you who feel a little frightened by it will feel less frightened and more interested in it by the end of this. So just in policy terms, it's a really big piece of legislation that covers a broad spectrum of policies, from credit for farmers to nutrition to the big bad S word, subsidies, to rural development and so on. And actually, subsidies I put on that list twice, so that's not significant in any way, actually. It's known as omnibus legislation, which just means that it affects a lot of different laws that are on the books. And it's reauthorized every 5 to 7 years. So Congress will, in each incarnation of the Farm Bill, say this expires on such and such date, and then they have to reauthorize it or extend it before that date, or else all these great programs will expire. It's such a big bill that a more apt question might be, what doesn't it cover? And somewhat interestingly enough, most of the work that has been discussed thus far on this panel is not really covered by the Farm Bill. So a lot of the farm-to-school work, a lot of WIC work, school meals, is funded through the Child Nutrition Act, which is a different piece of legislation. But I still think the Farm Bill does have some areas of interest if you are working on obesity prevention or nutrition at the local level. So, and this is another audience interaction point. So this is a breakdown of how the money is spent, and this comes from the last Farm Bill, which was in 2008. So would anyone venture to guess what that biggest chunk of the pie goes to? I'm hearing a lot of subsidies murmuring. Okay. So those of you who said subsidies might be surprised to know that actually the biggest chunk of money in the Farm Bill goes to nutrition programs. So it's a nutrition bill, largely, if you just look at the spending. Subsidies are, it's the title is known as commodities, is the next biggest chunk, that 15%. And then you have conservation, crop insurance, and all the other stuff. So there's 15 sections fits into that last 1%. There's definitely, nutrition is the biggest chunk, and actually SNAP is about 95% of that big piece of the pie. So if you're working on nutrition, hopefully now your ears have perked up and you're seeing this more as a bill that you should be interested in. So just in broad brushstrokes, and this presentation is really like a sprint through the Farm Bill, things that are important to those of us in public health that are touched on by the Farm Bill include the food security and better nutrition. I already showed you that a lot of money goes to SNAP and other nutrition programs. There are programs and policies that support local and regional food systems and economic development. Things like the Farmers Market Promotion Program, the Community Food Projects Program. And then it establishes policies that determine how healthy our food supply is. And you know, one aspect of that I don't think a lot of people, particularly in public health, talk about is the research investments that are made through the Farm Bill. And I'll get into that in a little while. But that does have an impact on what food is grown and how it's grown and so on. Okay, so I'm going to now highlight just a couple of programs and a couple of policies that you might not know about that are authorized by the Farm Bill, then I'll just talk a little bit about how you can learn more, and we'll wrap up. So again, I can't talk about the Farm Bill without talking about SNAP. In 2010, it served 40 million people, which is it broke records for the program, obviously because of the recession. It has a huge stimulus impact, which is why there were funds put into the stimulus bill a few years ago. For every dollar of SNAP that is spent on food, which that's what it's for, it generates $5 of economic activity that comes from the USDA. And then a small aspect of SNAP is what was known as the SNAP Ed or SNAP Education Program. It's now Nutrition Education and Obesity Prevention Program. And that provides dollars to states for nutrition education activities. And now there will be more opportunities through that program to do environmental change work. So, you know, not only telling people how to eat healthy, but actually creating places where people can actually get access to healthy food. The Farmers Market Promotion Program, which I mentioned, is funded through the Farm Bill, and that program provides grants to farmers markets around the country to develop farmers markets, to promote them within the community. These are some youth from Cleveland, Mississippi, which recently received one of these grants, and they've used it to develop a market garden, so to grow produce and then that they can sell it at the farmers market. And they've also used it to develop some educational opportunities for youth who are interested in developing their own food businesses. And then this one sounds really dry and dull, but it has a really cool provision that was in the 2008 Farm Bill that is of interest to people working on local food systems. This program provides low cost or no interest loans to rural businesses to start them up or to expand them. And in the 2008 Farm Bill, there was a 5% set aside that had to be used for food businesses in rural communities, which is just a great little piece of the Farm Bill that not a lot of people talk about, but it can have a nice impact in particular communities that are trying to foster food business entrepreneurship. So important policies to look at. So now I have just a couple of kind of somewhat provocative rhetorical questions where the answer is it's in the Farm Bill. So why can SNAP be used for soda but not tobacco? So this is a big debate in the public health world about should SNAP dollars be used for soda and junk food, those sorts of things. Well, the program is authorized by the Farm Bill, and so any policy changes that would be made has to go through that process. And so there are program rules right now for what you can and can't use SNAP dollars for. Most foods and beverages, with the exception of alcohol, can be purchased with SNAP, but tobacco cannot, and household goods cannot be purchased with SNAP. The SNAP program, just another little side note, is that retailers who want to accept SNAP have to get basically certified by USDA to accept it, and they also have to follow certain rules about the types of foods that they offer. So again, you know, if you look at those rules and want to strengthen them so that people have greater access to healthy food where they're using their SNAP dollars, again, that type of change would have to happen through this legislative process. Another question is, why can't fruits and vegetables be cheaper? So this one is a touchy subject, and the price of food, relative prices of food, is really complicated. So I'm not even going to try to answer this question. But there are a lot of policies that are set by the Farm Bill and other federal food and agriculture policies that have an impact on food prices. And so I'm not going to talk about subsidies here, but I am going to talk about the research title, which directs investments into agriculture production techniques and other areas of inquiry. And it's interesting to note, I learned this relatively recently, that the investments in research for production techniques of meat, grain, oil seeds, are three times that of the research dollars going towards fruit and vegetable production techniques. So some people hypothesize that a big factor in the relative prices of fruits and vegetables versus foods that are based on kind of commodity crops and grains, it actually comes from these research investments. We know a lot more about how to efficiently produce grain, meat, et cetera, than we do about fruits and vegetables. So just some food for thought. Okay, so I'm just about at the end of my time here. Hopefully it piqued your interest a little bit. I've just given you a taste of different things that are in the Farm Bill that may affect what you're doing in your communities. If you want to learn more, you can do a lot more research, and I can point you to different resources that you can learn a little bit more about the Farm Bill and different policies in it and how they might affect your community. Another really good resource is different kind of national associations that are tracking legislation. So APHA and the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition both do email alerts that keep you updated on the different policy debates, timelines, et cetera. So that might be something you sign up for. Another thing to think about is if you are doing really neat work on food projects in your communities, tell your stories, your success stories, to your representatives. They want to hear about it, and who knows, like someday down the road, that could be an example that leads to a pilot project that's put into the Farm Bill. So just don't be afraid to share your success with whoever will listen. And finally, I want to tell you a little bit about something that Seattle did recently, which is they came up with their vision for a better food system, and they got their city council to pass a resolution supporting that vision. And their kind of legislative intent with that was Congress and the Farm Bill process that is happening right now. But just think about how, as a leader in your community, you can help people think about the future of the food system and your community's role in that, and you know how you can kind of get support from your local leaders on that vision. As my bio mentioned, I'm part of a group that's starting up a coalition to work on federal, state, and local food and agriculture policy to create ultimately a food system, an agriculture system that works better for all of us, and from consumers to farmers to the environment. We're launching this week, actually, and so you can shoot an email to that email address just if you're interested in joining or staying in touch with us, and we'd love to hear from you. And finally, this is my Halloween costume from 2 years ago. I dressed up as the food police from the Nanny State, and as you can see, my tool belt there included a banana and some celery and carrots. So since I couldn't dress up, I thought I'd show you this instead. Before I take any questions, I do want to point out Helen from National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. She wants to just share real quick something really exciting that's happening this week related to this.
So again, I'm Helen Gonzalez with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, and tomorrow we will be introducing in Congress a bill that touches on a lot of what has been talked about here. It's called the Local Farm Food and Jobs Act, and it hits on farmers markets.
Thanks, Helen. So thank you, and I'll take any questions.
Yeah, a couple of questions here.
Hi. Yeah. Oh, this one? Yeah. Sure. Any other questions? All right. Thank you.